Welcome.
Everyone but me.
Welcome.
And I can't help feel ladies like and gentlemen,
to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chains nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, and the economy is picking up because everybody's managed to snap up a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. My very special guest is Dr. Richard Miller. Welcome to the program, Richard.
Good morning. Or what time is it there?
It just turned midday.
Am I talking to someone in the future?
Technically, yes.
How far in the future are you? It's right now 3 p.m. here.
Okay, it's about, 21 hours ahead of you.
Wow. Now that's a hit. You're okay. In New Zealand. What's the weather like right now? How's your weather doing, your forest fires?
No. That's Australia that has the forest fires. In New Zealand, the summers, we don't generally have fires in forests because most of our forests are rainforests. We have plains fires in the South Canterbury Plains where they have lots of dried long grass and alcoholic farmers.
Ah. And what was his name, my precious?
That would be Gollum.
Yeah, there you go. Do you know what a golem is, actually? A golem is a Jewish term. Are you familiar with that?
No, but I thought it was a media term.
No,
you know,
golem
somebody's got a golem in a local newspaper.
Yeah, golem is Hebrew for an artificial life form. What they do is they build a body out of material, and then they infuse
You're talking something totally different. You're talking about a golem.
Yes.
Whereas a golem is G-O-L-L-U-M, as opposed to G-O-L-E-M.
Well, pronunciations have to do with roots.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Don't worry about me. What would you like to talk about today?
Well, you know, funnily enough, I was actually going to ask you that question because I haven't had you on the show for a while, and I have no idea what you've been up to.
Well, Matt Stein is just recovering. His wife is recovering from cancer, and we're trying to use one of our power tools having to do with the difference between health and healing. I've just completed a new book. I haven't decided that. Originally, it was called Power Tools for the 21st Century, and it was the 8 protocols I developed for Navy SEALs to make us supermen. They were toys, you know, things like brain drivers, things like that. Now, there's some concepts called mythic living where you work with archetypal forms in metaphor. And one of the things I did this last year, I had like 9 surgeries, primary surgeries. I got titanium and all over my body. You ought to see me trying to go through an airport. And when I did these surgeries, I used my automobile as a metaphor. I have a Datsun 1976 280Z that I restored. And so when I changed the rust in the left panel of the car, I put a gauze in my gut. You know, metaphor. And I did this, and today, I'm 68. I'm probably in better shape than I ever was, man. I feel great. Albeit the body is a mechanical thing. These exercises that I'm doing are in different layers of consciousness. You can work medicine, for example, in your health using metaphor. What happened is that this person had a great deal of anger in her for a long period of time, and it was starting to affect their relationship with other people, her husband, etc. And what happened next was that she started to get some irritation in the body, which eventually escalated to cancer. The anger was causing the cancer. And what happened next is she got so concerned about her cancer, she forgot about the anger, revisioned it, and now there's no reason for the cancer. It's the way your subconscious tries to communicate to your consciousness when you're doing something that's counterproductive or not, you know, kind of like your true path, your purpose on life.
Yeah, I find that so many times. There's, I don't know, employment, for example. If there is ever an existing phenomenon that prevents you from doing what you should be doing in your own life, it's being employed for the most part. So many people are working all day, every day, and by the time they come home, they don't have time or the energy to work on their music or write that book that they've been wanting to. But interestingly enough, there was an article in a New Zealand newspaper a number of years ago that said being unemployed for about a year is sometimes the source of some of the greatest entrepreneurs and writings of our time. And I found that to be really a self-evident truth, but it depends on whether or not you use all that free time to improve yourself and do those things that you never had the time to do, or whether or not you use that free time to pity yourself and think that not having a job means you're not worth it.
So with that in mind, I chose to title my book, rather than Power Tools for the 21st Century, I've decided to title the book Taking Personal Responsibility for Your Own Evolution.
Mm.
It's all about your relationship to yourself and what your true purpose is on life. You know, Aleister Crowley, I like to quote from Aleister Crowley, sorry about that, used to call that your magical memory, keeping a diary of what's going on at that exact moment and getting snapshots rather than what we normally call confabulation. You know, little snapshots of that moment, how you're feeling about something. You know, feelings are a higher form of the physical plane. There is no difference between the physical and the emotional except in detail. And really, that's why the higher part of ourselves always communicates with illnesses and things that require us to feel something. It's part of the scales. Go ahead.
Yeah. What you just said there to feel something, I think it was just when I was about to go on holiday at the end of last year, I was starting to feel kind of disillusioned with all of this, you know, doing the radio show and exposing scumbaggery and all of that kind of stuff. And
Do you do this once a week?
No, 5 days a week.
Usually
working 6 days a week. On top of that, doing other people's radio shows, appearing as a guest.
I've had several friends that said they had you on.
Yeah, and I led a protest this weekend down Queen Street, kind of thing, with the giant megaphone and the full body camouflage gear.
Oh, that's great, man! That's great. That's
scary looking.
All hail Eris!
That's
rules.
But what I was going to say was the reason why I was feeling like I couldn't go on or anything like that was two reasons. Number one, I was just exhausted because I do so much work. And number two, I didn't feel anything different, right? You know what I'm saying? When sometimes in a rut and it's because your perception of reality hasn't been blown apart recently, you know? Being a conspiracy talk radio show host, you get used to people saying things that suddenly makes you question your whole reality. And I'd gotten addicted to that feeling like a drug, and it hadn't happened for a while.
Well, catharsis, that place of nexus.
Exactly. And my conclusion was that I hadn't suffered enough yet. All right? I needed.
You want to be a Jesuit? I've got a little cat of nine tails for you. You just hurt so good.
Well, what happened was I went up to my sister's place up north here in New Zealand And instead of being listened to, as I'm used to being, as a radio show host, I was kind of getting interrupted after every second sentence. I was being insulted, saying that all the things that I say are all nonsense and irrelevant and not worth listening to. And I had this intense rage and dissatisfaction as a result of that. And I had a profound realization. People who actually think that way, regardless of how close they are to you, was the result of their brainwashing and enslavement. And it's not my fault that they're slaves, okay? Yeah. And it's not my place to take it personally and blame them for it either. After all, and this was the really good part of the realization, holy cow, I'm Vinnie Eastwood. I'm ridiculously awesome. Some of them, you know?
Well, you have a great accent. I have to give you that one, man. No, you really do. I love it. It's disarming.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like the Obama regime. And I also wanted to... the context out of it was saying, not only to myself as a realization, but also to a lot of the people who listen to this radio show, who's perhaps their partner, who is not awake yet, or they're still living with their families who are not awake yet, and they get discriminated against. It's not your fault that they're still slaves and brainwashed. You're not going to be capable of waking them up on your own. It usually takes a cumulative effect and something bad to happen to them, you know, like being arrested by a police officer.
Well, that's what it, the difference between health and healing, what I was trying to say. You know, you have options on that internal landscape thing, and you can go one way or another in how you choose to approach something. You know what that's called? It's called thought forms going into memory water. And then precipitating from psyche into matter. We create our own reality with our thoughts. And so that's why, you know, you have to be very careful about the landscape. You know, I in this one chapter, I was writing about honesty and why you want to be honest. And the one possibility is that you're looking back and you don't like what's happening, you know, if you get caught or punished. And so you're honest because you don't want to get busted. Or you could look in the other direction, and there you want to do it because it's the right thing to do. Now, which way opens up which doors?
And the irony being that if you are honest, especially with police officers, the likelihood of you getting busted increases.
Yeah. How's that? The world laughs at you. Yeah, I remember that joke. It's been around a long time. The police officers. Well, they're on us. That's what it's always been about. I'm an outlaw, but not a criminal. But I have my own medical marijuana card, so there.
Well, you lucky devil, you. There's unfortunately a lot of people in New Zealand. We've got the highest arrest rate for marijuana than anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, it must be really nice with that long ultraviolet that you have down there.
Yeah, actually, in the international in the international competitions for the strength of marijuana, New Zealand is usually right up near the top tier.
I saw some houses that were built with it. I saw that. I posted it on my website. Excellent trip. That's the reason. It wasn't about the high you could get on marijuana. It was the fact that it could be used for a virgin white paper. That's why it's illegal. I mean, you know, it is a strong fiber.
Mm. Well, the strongest natural fiber, I mean, other than perhaps silkworms. And that's basically a very interesting thing. Like, I've got hemp pants and a hemp shirt that my mother bought for me for one Christmas. And all of the other cotton things and what have you that I've been wearing for a similar period of time are getting shredded or getting faded or
wearing
something
that,
like that.
Are they? Yeah, your 501 blue jeans.
See, what's interesting is that the hemp clothing will go out of fashion before they go into disrepair.
Probably, but I've got a zoot suit, so there. And it's a Swiss banker's thing, and it was like a zoot suit. It was an old Armani, and it's good to go, man. Especially when I go to Amsterdam, and it doesn't matter.
There's another funny thing about it. Amsterdam apparently had like a million French people go to Amsterdam every year just specifically for the marijuana. And then when people in New Zealand started talking about marijuana tourism, the government says, oh, there is no evidence for anybody would want to visit this country if we legalized marijuana.
I know. It's not about that anyway. It was the clouding of smoke. You know, there's still, I have a friend that runs the marijuana museum there, and his wife runs the Sensi Seed Bank. And they have a place called Nomads, which is upstairs. It's a disco that opens about 1 o'clock in the morning. And we're sitting there on the floor eating with our fingers, and in walks a belly dancer, private room. And only she's not belly dancing, she's doing 14th century folk dancing. Amsterdam. Fabulous furry freak brothers. Gotta tell me that, man. Fat Freddy's cat. They're all there.
All right, and we'll be right back with Dr. Richard Allen Miller right after the break. NW Botanicals is his website. Back in a moment, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I had a Jehovah's Witness come to my door one time and say, hey, did you know that God and science are getting closer together? And I was just like, well, you know, that doesn't surprise me, considering all the founders of society of science, like Newton and all of those other guys, happen to be really deeply religious. My very special guest is Richard Miller, and you were telling me over the break how you had a background in physics and people were approaching you with paranormal things.
I worked for the military. Yeah, that's what I did, yeah.
Would you be able to explain to us kind of how you went from that very solid scientific analytical approach to getting into sort of the more esoteric and maybe even occult field?
Well, okay, yeah. Back in my day, there were a lot of claims like firewalking and like Jack Schwartz was able to take needles and stab them through his arm, pull them out, and stop the bleeding instantaneously. The Navy wanted to know how to do that.
Okay, I always wanted to know how to do that. So
no, I mean, like if you got shot with a bullet, how to stop your own bleeding.
Oh, wow.
Just like with your mind. Okay, and so Menninger Foundation was set up in Topeka, Kansas with biofeedback, the first biofeedback that measured autonomic functions like brainwaves and heart rate and things like that. Before that time, people weren't really doing that. They listened to you with a stethoscope, but they weren't measuring with strip charts on how your heart is changing and, you know, those kinds of things. And the military wanted to make super soldiers, you know, they could control that with their mind. And you can, and with biofeedback. And all kinds of, functional MRIs and toys. There is a bunch of toys that you can, you know, train your body to, let's say, jump 50 years of meditation in 3 years using brain drivers. You can get to the same brain states that it would take a meditator 50 years to do and get there quick. Now, the problem is all quick shortcuts are just like to grandma's house. There's big bad wolves and dangers. Obviously, Aleister Crowley talked about drugs as a valid form of magic. It is, because magic is the art of changing consciousness at will, which means it's basically a higher form of physics. What magic is to you will be technology in 10 centuries. Breaker, breaker, 1-7, come on. That's called telepathy, and yet we're doing it in our mind's eye with toys, which means we can get there using microwave temporal lobes, that kind of thing. And so that's the kind of work I started. And when I was my classic physics, when I'd watch someone walk across the fire, a shaman or a Sherpa, a white feather shaman that would walk up Mount Rainier barefoot. How does he do that? We don't like to know how to do that ourselves so that we could walk in snow and bake it naked. That's the movie I was telling. There's a movie, science fiction movie called Subject 2, and it's about DNA explant, modifications to allow immortality, and what would that mean if you never died? An interesting movie. Yeah, he was watching Tyranny, which is a, you know, a move, a series on the internet about, you know, Poland in 2021 and using remote viewing to predict the future and trying to do tyranny and fight with it. That's an interesting little series. Now, magic is basically where I started because it's kind of like a discipline where you train your mind so that you can change reality. And there are things that you can do in this regard using toys that will get you there quicker, like a brain driver, you know, frequency following function, brain entrainment, that kind of thing. You can learn languages very quickly that way. There's all kinds of things that if you have a certain kind of breathing rate, your functional boxing, the way you could fight is improved. With your chi has to do with some forces that we don't even understand yet, but we recognize the validity of it, like in acupuncture, microtubule, electromagnetic fields around the body, things that you can do with that you can change other people's realities. You know, not laser main, you know, where you're doing sleight of hand, but the next level of it with your mind.
Mm. We were talking about the possible limits of this, and the subject of the Jedi, as in Star Wars, came up, and Jedi powers. You know, this is not the conspiracy theorist you're looking for.
No. May the Schwartz be with you. Yeah, I know. It was great, Starballs. Look, that there is no question. I wrote a paper in the 70s called The Omega Principle, and it was about the energy that patterns randomness. Now, if you want to think of it that way in terms of how you take your body as a water vehicle and you set up a radiant pattern form that goes into the environment, that's a good visualization of what really goes on. Structured water is the first foundation in all systems of magic. It has to do with electromagnetic fields and, you know, things like that with witches. And getting a witch off your trail, you cross running water. Make a note. Your little secrets, yeah. They're all, it's like Walt Disney, you know, used to talk about the Sorcerer's Apprentice, and he'd draw this circle around himself to keep the demons out. It's all starts in your mind's eye.
Well, this is also another interesting point. Even if there wasn't anything mystical going on, you can actually see the results of your desires becoming reality. Myself, for example.
Exactly, correct.
It's a daily basis. I'll be thinking about something, and all of a sudden something happens.
Well, that's because your brain wants to agree and make your reality feel like it's working for you. It's not there to separate reality. It's there to make you believe it.
Mm. And conversely, if you're thinking positively or thinking about what you want, if you're thinking negatively and only focusing on the things you don't want, those are the only things you will get. You know, my girlfriend's in that current position whereby she hates her job.
Oh, that's great, man.
And hates everybody else who is basically making her job harder around her.
Yeah.
And I kept saying to her, you know, you've got to think differently about this. You've got to start accepting other possibilities that if you're sitting home after going to work all day and you're all upset and stuff, and then you come home and you're still upset, you ain't going to actually change the next day at work. The next day at work is going to be just as bad, if not worse.
Well, there's the local Selma cartel where they grow all the pot here in Oregon. They have a little saying that says, "I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't have believed it." Mm. You know, we create our realities. That is a fact. And that's what the importance of values and belief systems. One of the things I trained Navy SEALs was how to change a belief system like you were with a pair of clothing. You know, the old what the bleep concept, where the shaman sees the boat out there on the horizon and nobody else can because they don't have that concept yet. And that's the part that we're trying to elevate now, leaving everybody behind. Just kidding.
Well, there's also another thing I want to put into here is the context of what you perceive to be pretty or something that you like. Like, for example, over the weekend, I told you I was leading a chemtrail protest and I was wearing full body camouflage and things like that. And, you know, I had a lot of comments I had a lot of comments on that photo, yeah. Specifically from women saying that I look really, really sexy in that camo. And I put a response on my YouTube page, and I said I had a few comments from girls on my new profile photo that I look sexy in camo gear. It's strange. Women in the West find men in uniform hot, whereas women elsewhere in the world run screaming from them in fear.
Yeah, well, that's because I wear aluminum, and I'm an old, grumpy old man. See, you're still, you know, you know, that's signs, you know, where you wrap your head in aluminum foil, you know, trying to shield out the microwave. You know, this place is such a sewer. Any self-respecting alien wouldn't want to come down here and slum in force space. God, they get all kinds of creepy crawlies. It's places down here. You know what Morgellons disease is? We figured it out. It was from the Challenger. What happened is the nematode experiments crossed with life forms in the xenosphere, and the trail where they fell is exactly the same areas where they found the live nematode. And all of a sudden, now we've got something out of X-Files with things, your skin wiggling with these little metal worms, you know, that are basically a nematode. Now, that's the good news, because nematodes are easy to kill on your body. So people that have Morgellons, there is now, once you know what it is, you can go after it. That's been the main problem with nematode and things like that, was that basically nobody knew what Morgellons was. The Center for Disease Control still hasn't identified it. It's interesting.
Mm.
You've heard of Morgellons? Yes.
Yeah, it's the one where kind of fibers start growing out of your pores, sort of thing.
Yep. It's a new nematode, is what it is.
Some people thought it was a result of chemtrail activity and nanotechnology that self-replicated.
What happened was the Challenger. It happened right after the first Morgellons started showing up, right after the Challenger experiment. I wrote this for Nexus. Basically, the nematode was the only thing that survived that accident. And where the debris fell on Earth, they found living nematode. And some of it had mutated into this new thing and it's airborne, which means people probably breathed it in their body. You know, that's how people get nematode, is walking in bare feet and things like that. Nematode is easy to clean, you know. I would recommend an absence ritual, you know, where we all got out and drunk and had a party and then sterilize everything in the middle. Making absence. I make an absence with, you're getting it now. It works. Wormwood will murder almost everything. And then you would go back through your gut with green clay or a pyrolytic clay of some kind, you know, washing it out. And then do it again for the eggs. Nematode, like Hydra, lay eggs.
Now, a friend of mine in Australia was talking to a doctor, and he was talking about Morgellons disease with her, and she says, oh, yes, I've got a couple of patients who have got Morgellons, but it doesn't exist.
Well, that's really interesting to the person that's got these wiggly things coming out of his arm. What do you think that is then? You know, it's pretty scary. And I wouldn't want to have anything creepy like that. You know, chemtrails and HARP they tried to use all of those things to control the weather, you know, like they do silver chloride in the local clouds for airports and things. But what's happening on Australia is that particulate matter from all those forest fires is going to cut the light out of the trees and their forests. And it's called global dimming. And when that occurs, you will get weather changes. And what's happening is it's changing all over the world right now. I think they had in Europe, they said something like, they had 9 currents and now it's down to 4. You know, there's only 4 basic currents now in Europe on the way the air moves now. Instead of 9, they're changing. We are in a global dimming situation or a weather event. The weather is going to change for everybody. It's real strange weather here where I live, Oregon.
Now, global dimming, that's not a reference to the average intelligence of people living on this planet, is it?
What do you mean? Oh, no, yeah, really? Yeah, and leaving everybody behind. No. Good play on words. I'll have to remember that one. No, it's how much light is hitting the actual plant from the sun. And last year in the United States, our global dimming for 2 months was down 10%. But in Russia, where they had all those forest fires last year, it was 35% for almost 4 months. That is what's changing the weather, is the amount of light the plants are hitting. You can actually, from space, look at the color of the earth. It's browner. We're in a drought, a serious drought right now. And it's all part of the global dimming.
Mm. Well, is that because when the sunlight comes through, hits the ocean, evaporates, and then creates rain clouds, so hence less sunlight, less evaporation?
Well, carbon dioxide, yeah, and the amount of carbon dioxide because the light that's hitting the trees. What photosynthesis, everybody's always wanted to know how photosynthesis is. I'll do it the way Richard Feynman does it. When a photon of light hits water, what happens is that Feynman says like likes like. That means all the positive atoms go up there and all the negative atoms go down there. And what happens next, you have a battery just from the water and the reaction of light. The way cold fusion works is that they do this by adding deuterium and some other lighter elements so that when you get this separation, you strip hydrogen. And that's why they call it hydrogen fuel. And I was going to do my 280Z on that, on a, you know, Brown's gas type of thing. And I chose... That's a really lovely car, man, just like my body is. What I did is I'm converting it this year to alcohol. I'm going to run it off my garden. I just grow some comfrey and make Jack Daniels back in the backyard there and run my Z off it. If I put Redline oil in the car, I won't even need the Arabs or the Teamsters.
See, I'm way ahead of you. I already can make myself run on alcohol.
I know, we all do that. It's that kind of alcohol, you know, which molecule you want to use. I was always partial to absinthe, where you do wormwood, because when you caramelize the sugar, it heats up the wormwood, and then when you luge it with cold water, the difference in temperature is where your green fairy comes out, and it's a rare translucent green molecule, and that's how you know you got it. It's an actual narcotic that comes out of wormwood when there's a heat, very cold thing. That's with the caramelized sugar dripping it in, and then you hit it with luge of ice water. As cold as you can get is as good as it gets. Garcon. I got to add some more wormwood here.
No, see, that's the same principle as the Clintons' relationship. As cold as it gets, that's as good as it gets.
Yeah, between really.
Bill and Hillary. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with Dr. Richard Allen Miller.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times they are a-changing.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment here that we've got with Dr. Richard Allen Miller. And he was commenting over the break about how much work I do. And I was explaining that basically there's only three things I can do, and I've had to cut out everything else. Like, the three things I can do is this radio show, my videos, and answering personal messages, whether they be from email, Skype, or Facebook. I have had to cut out everything else. Everything. Okay.
Yeah, well, you didn't cut out Bob Dylan. That's pretty good.
Yeah. And that was the interesting thing that really occurred to me, man, is just nothing else really matters. Talking to people is actually, I think, a heck of a lot more immersive and fun and enlightening than perhaps reading their book or watching their or looking at their website or watching their videos sometimes, you know? Horse's mouth, heck of a lot more interesting stuff from there. So Dr. Richard Allen Miller is my guest, and you have a number of things that you wanted to mention that you've put down in the Skype chat here. Fire away.
Well, just basically my website. If you want more information on what I'm doing, it would be at richardallenmiller.com, and A-L-A-N. I have a lot of books out. I've written things like the Anarchist. I was one of the four authors on Anarchist Cookbook. I wrote Magical Mushroom Handbook, Legal Highs. You know, I wrote all the early drug books for everybody. Now I'm a little more grumpy, and no more psychotic episodes for me. I'm just more the big brass bed for Bob Dylan sings about. That's more like what I'm in for now. Reading has changed, hasn't it, for everybody. YouTube has, and the style. I write for a newspaper called The Sovereign. It's out of New York City. It's a skateboarder for just your age. It's radical, you know, militant, blah, 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 you know, for New York City. And skateboarders, you know, someone that might have their hair in different colors. And I write on the new directions of mind control on that. Talking about our food, how they're getting into our food choices and things like that. I just think that it's a shame what's happening now between them and us. It's like I almost sense there's in 1850s, I'm going to say this. In the 1850s, I think there was a close encounter. I think technology was exchanged, and that there are now two races of human beings on this earth, one with space travel and one without. And the discrepancy between the haves and the have-nots, the middle class, is slowly separating, and the types of foods that they're feeding us, it's no wonder everybody in Japan right now is getting bald from the Fukushima, and they're getting fat because they're eating American diets. And I'm watching what's going on in our world with the Walmart shoppers. There's your alien, man. The zombie. It's like they're attacking us on our most basic foundations. I would think that rather than privatizing water, I would like to see food become an infrastructure like a recreational sport. You start in kindergarten and half their playground is a garden, and watch where that goes. I'm too old to do it. It will be probably your children that will make the change in this world. Someone that's under six, probably. That's what I sense. That's what I think is going to happen. It can't go through the current educational system. It will have to be something that changes, like and what was that, Cloud Atlas, the movie Cloud Atlas. At the end of the movie, the way they were teaching, the teacher wasn't really a teacher. She was an enabler, and the kids teach themselves. It was conceptually, it was really interesting. I saw a different construct, you know, of the way you would teach someone something. I don't have the answers, all of them. I'm just a nerd, and so I'm a nerd. You know, I have certain limitations in the way I look at things, and I'm very concerned with education. I think that's where we should start, and we start with food. You know, where it's some kind of not self-reliance, but an assurity like you have with air that you breathe. With the chemtrail things, I guess that's gone now. But, I mean, you know, it's so weird. I remember my website starts off with a quote from Chief Seattle in 1854, about 3 years before the Carrington Effect. He said, "How can man own the air he breathes? How can he own the land he lives on? And we're just caretakers. We're here for a moment. And to have ownership is crazy. It's doesn't make any sense the way we're living." There's a really good set of videos called Zeitgeist that's on the internet. And the one that everybody should take time to see is Zeitgeist Moving Forward. It's a two-hour. It's not the one on 9/11 where they show that a thing was detonations. What this one does is it says we've had 400 years of currency. It doesn't work. And it's time to move on. That's basically, and it includes epigenetics.
Well, there's two things I'd like to mention there. Firstly, when Zeitgeist 2 and Zeitgeist 3 were screened in New Zealand, we had you had to pay $10 to get in. I was the only person who got into both of those screenings for free because I'm Mr. News.
Well, there you go. But they're free now anywhere. On the you can download them, you know.
Well, exactly. But this is just a premiere, and they had to hire a theater and everything.
Yeah.
So you understand that.
They think they're getting something.
And the second is the leaders of the Zeitgeist movement in New Zealand are my friends and everything like that. You know what they all have in common?
No.
Very wealthy parents.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So you've got a group of guys who haven't actually really had to struggle and suffer and work for the majority of their life for some reason. Pretty obvious to me, getting into a Zeitgeist movement which says we're going to get machines to run everything and you'll never have to work a day in your life.
Well, there's that free energy move I've heard of too also. I didn't know that part about Zeitgeist. I didn't. I was watching like when George Carlin, I love George Carlin, when he came on and he said, God has everything, but he needs more money. I mean, really... the whole thing, I had on my website that one building. I had a physicist friend of mine do a calculation on it, how fast, within 3%, it was free fall. It would have taken my SEAL unit probably 3 months to rig it that precision and have it fall. And that there were three buildings that were demolished like that. Pentagon wasn't hit by an airplane. What did it then hit it? And where did that come from? And what happened to that airplane that supposedly crashed with all the people killed on it? And then, it gets better and better. That's the Aurora shooting. There's this woman sitting next to the guy that did the shooting in court, and she is the same mother of one of the dead children in Sandy Hook. How does that work? I mean, really, I'm watching all of this stuff on false flags. Knowing what I know as ex-military, I mean, I just going, I can't believe it. And nobody is reporting it. Not really. I mean, nobody. Even Al Jazeera. I mean, you know, I thought at least, you know, maybe they would.
I did like Al Jazeera. Up until a few years ago, I think. They just changed and they became so mainstream all of a sudden.
Well, they're Fox News now, I heard.
pretty much. And I think it might have happened since the Iraq War, when a lot of their really hardcore journalists and editors and everything like that just simply got blown up and nobody came in to replace them.
I'll give you something about Iraq that's interesting. When I worked in military, I was Navy intelligence, and we knew about an artifact in the south, in the north part of Iraq, in Yazidis country. And Aleister Crowley wrote about it, and then the church came out about 100 years ago with Yazidis, the sacred, the sacred ceremonies of the Yazidi or something like that. It was Joseph Isaiah. And really, it talks about an artifact in the deep catacombs of which the father, Bush, couldn't find. And the second Bush, the reason he invaded Iraq was he, right after the invasion, we had tomography. I could see where it was. He got on board ship with all his ribbons and everything on, and he said, we got it, the war's over. And then the last couple of years have been a false flag. What it was they call it like a Stargate. It isn't a Stargate. What it is, I don't have no idea because I didn't get it. We knew about it in the 70s, but nobody knew where it is. And the interesting part is I have a copy of the Yazidis here. So I have the old, you know, because that was one of the things we always wanted to get. It was a big door where demons ran in and out of it. And there was a whole cult based on this thing called the Yazidis. And now the book, Joseph Isaiah's book, suggesting there was a second door. And they think it's in the ocean, but they haven't been able to find it yet, even with tomography. So what does it do? I haven't got a clue. Probably dimensional gate to Mars. Well, I saw top secret documents about Mars before even the moon was. We were never interested in the moon. Mars had water. It was in 1964 when the Mariner 1 went by and it discovered the amount of water on Mars. On my website, I had a picture of the Earth, I have a picture of the moon, and then I have a picture of the ball of water from the Earth. And then I bring a fourth ball in on the amount of water on Mars that they just have discovered, and it's more water than on Earth. It's a new form of structured water that remains a slushy ice down near 100 Fahrenheit, below Fahrenheit. And it's just from the pressures and things like that. If you were on Mars, it would be, standing on Mars, to give you the how thin the atmosphere is, your feet would be at 70 degrees. Your head would be at -5. That's how thin the air is on Mars. And so they tried to terraform it at one point, and it didn't work.
Richard, I'm sorry, we've run out to the end of the show here. So his website, ladies and gentlemen, is Richard Allen Miller, if you wish to observe more of his work. Thank you very much. And coming up next, Sherry Kane and Len Horowitz. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. We're having a problem connecting our guests, Len Horowitz and Sherry Kane, which is good because I wanted to take the opportunity to basically get down on my knees and beg, please, for the love of Norwegian cheese.
Hello.
Hey, Sherry, give me a second. I'm just begging with the audience here. Please, ladies and gentlemen, go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and send me either a donation or a subscription. If you subscribe for as little as $1 a month, we'll give you ad-free archives. Now, that's not just ad-free archives of the show, which are roughly about, save you about a half an hour of listening time per episode. So it's about 2.5 hours a week it saves you for $1 a month. That's incredible value. You could also subscribe for $2, $3, $4, $5, $10, or $20 a month, depending on how much you actually really want to support this broadcast. Okay? If you want people to come on this radio program, all you need do is send me their email and contact address forms and things of that nature, and then I'll get them on. In general, that's how it works. As long as that person responds and is keen to come on and get some free coverage and talk about their ideas in a fun, friendly, fashionable format that we try to do here on this radio program, then they will. Okay, that's basically what I'm trying to really do here is make sure that everybody has a say. Everybody gets their voice out there, at least in some small format that I can. I can't follow everybody constantly. I can't watch everybody's documentaries or look at everybody's websites or read everybody's books, but I can pretty much, through a progressive format, interview all of said people. You know what I'm saying? It's not that difficult for me. It might be really hard for others, but for me, having a radio show, you just send somebody an email saying, hey, would you like to come on a radio show? What are you going to say? You're going to say, well, yeah, sure. So if you appreciate that, if you appreciate the fact that we're doing it 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, plus all the other radio shows that I go on to for free. I don't charge anybody to have me on their radio programs. That would just make me some kind of a douchebag. And I really, really do, at this particular moment in time, desperately underline, point some fingers at it with a big exclamation fracking point, desperately need some donations and some subscriptions, okay? I'm really, really sick of living hand to mouth. I'm really, really sick of getting up to a week before my rent is due and not having the $250 that I need. Like, right now, please, please go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and subscribe for as little as $1 a month. If a lot of people do it, that means I have an income base to work off so that I don't have to keep begging, essentially. I think it's been a little round a month and a half, I think, since my last appeal for donations. And I don't want to keep doing that every month and a half. It would be much better if people were subscribing regularly so that I don't have to kind of beg and pressure people into it. You know, this is, I actually feel guilty, even after all the work that I do, to ask for money from you listeners and all of that kind of stuff. All you people who have been supporting me, listening to me and all of that kind of stuff. I actually feel guilty to ask something back from you. And it's a lot of pressure, and it's really messed up, and it's fracking with my head, and it's made all the worse by just not having enough money to survive. So please, go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, subscribe for $1 a month, $5 a month, whatever, or send me a little bit of a donation, because if you don't want to do, you know, regular donations, just pay, you know, a year up front or whatever. I've had a couple of emails from listeners who are going to do that, all right? Understand the work that I do is not free. All right. I don't have a day job. This is full time and I cannot seek employment. Okay. I can't do it. Can't take orders. Can't be employed. Don't want to. I just have some kind of a psychological block to being a slave. Sorry. So I need your help. Okay. Let's go to our guests now. Sherry Kane and I believe Len Horowitz are on the line. Guys, welcome.
Hi, Vinny.
How are you? Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Now, what's been happening with you guys? You sent me an email about Sandy Hook. I'd like it if you could reiterate for the audience what was contained therein. But before you get into that, of course, just introduce yourself and who you are and what you do, because I know that you guys are also in a similar predicament to me, financially speaking, at the moment because of all your legal problems and whatnot. So if you could give out your websites, that would be great.
Yes. Hi, I'm Sherry Kane. I'm an investigative journalist. I work very closely with my partner, Dr. Leonard Horowitz, who's the world famous author, humanitarian, and activist. We both are activists, actually. We are uncovering the worst of the worst in the world's corruption, as well as offering the best solutions that anyone can imagine in the 528 frequency, which is the 528 love frequency. And we have started a revolution with that called the 528 Love Revolution. And we have a couple radio sites connected to that, which is 528records.com. So if anyone's a musician out there, they can actually upload their original tracks to the site. It will automatically transpose them into the 528 hertz frequency of love, and then it will be sent back to them in an MP3 file.
The reason for that is it becomes medicinal music then. It's actually healing people beyond just simply enjoyable and entertaining.
And the site just survives on donations, as well as 528radio.com, which is music that has already been transposed into 528. And there's several genres, and to increase our service base, we're like you. We live on donations as well. And also, we have another website called waronwethepeople.com, which you can see the latest on the not-so-good news, but it is the truth of what's happening in the world, what the mainstream media isn't telling you, also what's going on underneath the entire story, what's really going on in the back doors. And so we uncover that. Len, did you want to introduce yourself for a moment?
Sure. Yeah, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz, and I've been at this kind of like looking at government exposés and malfeasance in the petrochemical pharmaceutical cartel. So I actually call it the military medical petrochemical pharmaceutical banking cartel, and that they're advancing globalization. I've been at this and as an activist and whistleblower, especially exposing the drug industry for corruption, especially in vaccinations, since, let's see, 1990, I began to fall into my first government cover-up, had to do with the injection of six patients of a dentist in South Florida with his blood and his strain of HIV/AIDS that created, according to Lawrence Altman of the New York Times, among the greatest mysteries in the annals of American medicine. And I solved the mystery of that case, and in the process came out with the truth and got blacklisted, lost my job, lost my position, could no longer speak to organized medicine and dentistry, and thereafter gave up my dental practice and medical association. I ran a holistic medical center in Massachusetts and gave it up to actually advance research in the area of where did these viruses come from. And in 1996, I came out with the very monumental book that's changed a lot of governments' positions on HIV/AIDS and a lot of people's positions on vaccinations, called Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola, Nature, Accident, or Intentional. It became my first bestseller. And then after that book, which was my, I think it was my 10th book, I continued to publish, and I've subsequently done 17 books. My latest is, like Sherry mentioned, expressing the most wonderful news that we have, that we could literally transform the entire planet, including free energy, including healing technologies that are literally operating on the miraculous scale, on the metaphysical, energetic level that literally chlorophyll and the sunshine operates on. And that is 528 frequency. Particularly, it's the love frequency. And there's a massive amount of evidence that I advance in the book of 528, Prosperity Key of Love, that speaks to this being humanity's greatest hope for coming out of the insanity, hypocrisy, lunacy, degeneration, intoxication, and depopulation that is facing us today.
And that book, you can check it out at thebookof528.com. And to look at what we're working on, our latest news investigations, you can go to waronwethepeople.com. Also, my personal website is Sherry Kane, SHERRIKANE.com. Len's personal website is drlenhorowitz.com. And you can also check out Medical Veritas, that's veritas.org, and fluscam.com. We have a lot of websites. So all of the websites that we have all actually give different kinds of information. So they're not the same, but they're all really important information.
Yeah.
If you want, and I wanted to illustrate that if we let Len and Sherry continue explaining to you all the stuff that they've done, all the things that they're exposing, all the different websites that they have, all these different battles they're fighting, we would need maybe a 12-hour show or something of that nature. So let's move on to Sandy Hook.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, so we actually put together a press release and a letter that we had
actually
sent.
Hasn't gone out yet, Vinny. You're the one of the first people on the planet to receive it. That's okay. How much we love you, yeah, and honor you.
And in the press releases, attached to it is a letter that we sent to the Connecticut State Police. As you know, Vinny, we have been attacked heavily. Len has been attacked since 2007 by these guys that put him on a fake Knights of Malta list. They circulated it all over the internet. When I came to work with him in 2009, I asked him who these people were. He said, I don't have any idea.
I had no idea why they were trying to discredit
me. Seemed like a bunch of jealous guys or whatever, right? You know, they have nothing better to do. And I put the dots together. I brought my information and research to Len. I said, these are the people that are behind these attacks. This is the guy they work for, which happened to be Ted Gunderson. And Ted Gunderson was his friend or somebody he actually respected and gave hugs to and shook hands with when he saw him at events. Yeah. And so he couldn't believe it at first. And then he did his own research. And sure enough, the man had backstabbed him and sent this whole group of guys to attack him. Now, Ted Gunderson had started working under J. Edgar Hoover when J. Edgar Hoover was in office to do COINTELPRO operations, to actually go after dissidents like John Lennon, JFK, MLK, RFK, Malcolm X, and anybody that was going to make a difference in the world, spreading peace and love, or just having people think differently, stand up for their rights, their constitutional rights. And he he actually was involved in creating these people, gangs to go after them. At the time, there was no internet. Today, it's not called COINTELPRO. We don't know the name of what it's called. It serves for the same purpose, to go after people on the internet that are doing the same thing that they can't control. And what they did was, it's been happening since 2007, 2009. They started heavily attacking me as well. They got into our personal life. They started going after Len's ex-wife. They started brainwashing her. Eventually, she started to go against us. People that we considered our friends and family started to attack us. It was just really, really heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking for us. And so just come, I don't know how God works in such mysterious ways, but what happened was the Sandy Hook horrible tragedy occurred. And shortly after that, there was all of these news stories about how people were being attacked. The parents of Sandy Hook were being called actors. The nice old man who had helped the children, Gene Rosen, brought them into his house. He was a good Samaritan and lived near the school, brought them in his house, gave them toys, called their parents, and was really helpful. He's 80 years old. And what they did to these people, and we found out it was the very same people that had attacked us all those years. And so we put it together. We pieced it together, the sources of the disinformation. We also put together the fact that they make money off of this disinformation. The guy that's leading this enterprise is Truad. I know you're familiar with him because we've come to you about him before. His name is Dr. Truad. He's not a real doctor. He's not a naturopathic doctor.
That's not his real name.
It's not his real name. His real name is Almasiat. We made a website actually to expose him. It's called Truad.com. He has a blog called A Truad, but ours is Truad.com. So if you want to check out how we exposed him and what he's done, and this is way before what happened with Sandy Hook. So when the Sandy Hook incident came out, we saw that it was similar. I looked at some of the videos that were made, how they edited the one of the fathers of the children, Robbie Parker. I noticed how they edited the medical examiner's videos. Now, the medical examiner is a strange guy anyway. In order to have that job, I want you to know, you can't be, you know, really normal in your mind. You got to really kind of detach yourself from many things. I mean, you're examining 20 children who have been murdered. I mean, what? How is that going to affect your mind? Now, this guy, it's not the first time he has seen a murdered child in his eyes, right? And having to investigate it. And so what they did was they played on his idiosyncrasies. They played on his tics or whatever you might want to call it. They edited it and they constantly replayed it over and over again, the certain parts of his personality.
Which was very similar to what they did to Sherry, actually, when they got a hold of a private video and then created it to distort and defame her.
Exactly. They did the same thing.
So all these idiots, basically, they use the exact same tactics and do it over and over. I call that idiotic synchronicity, or kind of.
Yes, that's right, Vinny. And I noticed the MO of Alex McGowan Studer, who's a subordinate of Truat. I noticed how he had put together this video, and it was almost identical with the medical examiner and what he had done to me. And sure enough, I saw it on YouTube. I knew it was his work. And
Hold on, Sherry, we've just come to the break now, so we'll come back and hold that thought. Ladies and gentlemen, my very special guests are the fabulous Horro Kane, otherwise known as Sherry Kane, and Leonard G. Horowitz, Dr. Leonard G. Horowitz, and we'll be right back with them after this short break. Don't you go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the most operatic 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. And my very special guests for this second hour are the fabulous Sherry Kane and Leonard G. Horowitz. Now, also, I wanted to encourage people to check me out on Facebook, Guerrilla Media Mr. News is my name there. And we're posting a lot of images lately that my good friend, confidant, and design maestro, Roy, has been pushing out. And the latest one is the Titanic about to slam into a giant human-looking iceberg. And the Titanic has written on it censorship, and the iceberg has written on it internet. It's really what this is all about. You've got to sink that censorship, baby. Len, Sherry, welcome back. Sorry, Sherry, what were you talking about just before we got cut off by the break earlier?
What we were talking about is the person that's responsible for editing the videos, the disinformation videos, that also had gotten a hold of a stolen videotape of me, a personal videotape of me, is the one behind the Sandy Hook disinformation videos. And he is the subordinate of the doctor, big Dr. Truat. His name is Alex McGowan Studer. And we had found out recently he was a professional audio engineer for Hollywood production. So he gets freelanced out on the side to do it. So this is not an amateur who's at work here. This is somebody who's actually a professional in the audio video engineering Hollywood production world. And what they did was we pieced it all together, how they were all connected and how they were the sources. I mean, we have the list. It's on the newsletter that I sent out. It's an attachment in a letter to the Connecticut State Police and to the FBI, how these people operate, how they are doing it for commercial gain. Alex McGowan Studer has a site where he actually sells Nuke Israel baby bibs.
All of these guys actually use a multiple number of aliases, and then they make it appear that there's a whole army of people out there putting out this information, but in fact, it's just a few guys. And then they're, like Sherry mentioned, they're commercially supported by creating the controversies and then generating the web traffic to their sites and then their stores.
And what they did to this poor old man, Gene Rosen, who was the Good Samaritan in Newtown, Connecticut, who helped those children, they created a YouTube site for him. He's never, I'm sure, never probably been on YouTube before. Created a YouTube site for him and then posted his interview, his initial interview with the police or independent journalists, where they labeled it as the audition tape, and claimed that he was an actor. And they created this with his YouTube, on a fake YouTube account with his name on it, and connected it to the Church of Satan. So they linked it saying that he belongs to the Church of Satan. Again, he's been targeted because he is Jewish, and these guys, they tend to like to go after Jewish people, like they had done with even Gabrielle Giffords. If you remember Congressman Gabrielle Giffords, who was shot in the head, claiming that she was never shot, and then making a these things about her because she was Jewish.
And this is what the picture is, that, you know, they're always pointing their finger, claiming other people are part of the Church of Satan. They basically said the same thing about Sherry, said that she was a spawn of Satan. They called me a seed of Satan. They claimed that I was, as Sherry mentioned, a Knight of Malta involved with the Pope and the Zionist movement. All this garbage to simply defame us and generate this controversy, driving traffic to their stores and their commerce. And then what's really sick is that these guys actually continue to promote part of what they're named as cause stalkers. They're not just internet harassers or gang stalkers. They are actually cause stalkers because they believe in the satanic church's theology. They believe in the KKK theology that they call, quote, Christian identity, end quote, that has nothing to do with Christianity. Although you think it's Christian identity, it's a psyops. It's named identity, Christian identity, so that you think it has something to do with Christianity.
Or it identifies with Christianity.
Yeah.
Right?
Cause stalkers, they're just stalking you just cause.
That's right. Yeah, well, they got the cause, and they want to spread, you know, this sick and sad lies. And that's such an amazing thing to see it over and over again, how they flip it. Just like you see in the institutions, for example, Centers for Disease Control is actually Centers for Disease Creation. And, you know, this, like, the Food and Drug Administration is the fraudulent drug advocates. You know, they're basically, they flip what you think they are, exactly opposite. So when they're pointing out that this fellow, poor Gene Rosen, is from the Church of Satan, that's exactly what they're involved in. They take largely their mind control psyops directions in the administrations of their psyops from Michael Aquino. Michael Aquino is a colonel, Michael Aquino, from the National Security Agency, and wrote the book on propaganda for the United States military. He runs the Temple of Set, which is has evolved out of the Church of Satan. It's the modern-day Church of Satan. And these are the guys that are actually doing this to our heads.
And he dresses like Grandpa Munster, and his wife dresses like Vampirella, but that's not really the way that they are. It's just like kind of like a psyops of, like, so you look at them and you don't take them serious. You see them as cartoon characters, but they're really very serious if you listen to what they say. They, you know, Michael Aquino is very intelligent. He speaks very intelligently, and he's also has a huge position in the military and also in charge of, like Len said, media propaganda.
Even his image is a psyops, where you immediately, you get discredited. He's discredited. He's putting out the truth. He's telling you he's with the Church of Satan. He's telling you that these children are disappearing, which is how Sherry got involved in investigating, because she's a children's rights advocate. And suddenly now you begin to see how COINTELPRO operates with discrediting everything and everyone. And that's the real big underlying matter here that we've just now exposed. If you go to waronwethepeople.com and you click on the NRA article, the National Rifle Association, and the expose that we and co-authors, Howard Nima and Michael Vara, just posted, it goes into the next level, virtually the next peel of the onion. We just peeled it back and we show you the connections between the NRA, the drug cartel, the Rockefeller, Wall Street investment bankers, and then the propaganda and the manipulation of the media by this entity to distract and to create divisions, as well as the deceptions that drives the political actions and the legislation for gun control, missing drug law, where we need to have more drug laws instead of more gun laws. We need to make sure that the psychopaths aren't being pharmaceutically intoxicated to become aggressive. That's exactly what they're involved in covering up by discrediting this whole matter. They created a video with Rima Liebau. I don't know if you know Dr. Rima Liebau. She published... claimed that she was Adam Lanza's doctor, psychiatrist. And
it was a metaphor, though, but you didn't realize
that. Yeah, but you didn't know. It was grossly confusing. It was deceiving, and it was misrepresenting, and it was discrediting of her. And so she comes out and represents all of the people who are concerned about pharmaceuticals. And, you know, it's discredited immediately, the entire movement. So you've got the NRA, who is neglecting, criminally neglecting the fact that almost all of the mass murderers have been on the psychotropic drugs, and they completely neglect that. That's a fraud. And now they're advancing the political debates, and Capitol Hill goes right along with it. And you got in the alternative sector, you've got Rima Liebau, who's out there discrediting everyone who's claiming that the drugs are equally a cofactor in the risk to Americans. And you've got all these COINTELPRO operatives additionally discrediting Liebau. In essence, what you've got is a psyops.
Yeah, right. They discredit her, but in reality, they all work for the same people. Because if you look at who her husband is, Colonel Albert Stubblebine, this guy, you know, has high rankings in the military. Him and Rima both controlled submarine organizations and Canadian submarines, manufacturing.
Military intelligence at high levels. He's in the Military Intelligence Hall of Fame. So these are not stupid people. These are people who have intimate connections to covert operations and intelligence agencies. And that, again, for her to be doing this to the public's mind is when you begin to peel back the onion and you see then the whole picture of how this is operating as organized crime, and it's actually antitrust, and of course it's treasonous, it's Sherman Antitrust Act violation, because what you're doing is you're cementing Big Pharma's role and monopoly over the entire healing industries, and you've got basically a cover operation ongoing by NRA, which basically is the being fueled and funded by the same people who run the drug cartel.
And, you know, another clue, I mean, it's all done in plain sight, because even Rayma Labell, she's out at the forefront, you know, speaking out against Kodak's Elementarius. And here you have her looking at her, who her husband is. How is she working for military organizations and able to be a national health advocate and not be attacked for that? So it's right there in plain sight for you, for anybody to see. And another one like her is Truot, who attacks her, who actually says that Len and I are working with her because she's Jewish and we're Jewish or something.
We clued into Labell because all of a sudden we're getting attacked by the same true snot who's involved in basically lying, saying that I have a relationship with Labell. Of course he says that, to put me in the same discreditable barrel as Labell.
And he's working with her. That's the reality of it. They're working for the same people. They're counterintelligence propagandists. And you know what's interesting is, you know, your show is so awesome, right? And Michael Vara, his show is so awesome. We think the Haro Kane Hour is very awesome as well. If you look at Truot's show, he's got the worst possible show, and this guy has major sponsors sponsoring him, and know what he does for the hour? He talks to himself, he answers himself, and if he gets you on to interview you, just by pick up the Satanic Bible like he did with Jane Burgermeister and start citing it to take up most of
It's quite funny that there was this one guy who was part of AXJ or some kind of organization that's like a front group for anti-pedophile or whatever. But in actual fact, the people that are part of this group are actually pedophiles themselves. And I had on a guy named John Astor who's exposing them. And then they did a broadcast trying to discredit me. And they go, Vinny with his unprofessional broadcast. And they get it. Oh God! I've gotta finish my show now because my BlackBerry is running out of batteries. And it sounded like he was doing it in the men room in Hooters or something. It's just come on. We listened to this broadcast, me, John, and a couple of other of our mates and stuff like that. And when you listen to some of these people, they're so crazy that me as a sane person, John as a sane person, can listen to this. And despite the fact that it's supposed to be really offensive to us, it's not. It's just really, really, really hilarious. It's just the quantitative amount of hypocrisy and stupidity and insanity within every single word that comes out of their mouth and the low quality of their broadcast. So, you know, it's the same deal, isn't it?
It is.
But again, I would caution the audience. And again, I love you and I love the spin, the humor that you bring to the most serious, hideous matters. But I would caution the listeners that when they're listening to this insanity and hypocrisy and these fractured brains, I mean, it's completely loathsome to claim that these poor victims of Sandy Hook are all actors. You know, this is the type of insanity and hypocrisy that is uncivilized. I mean, it totally degrades society, and it is done purposefully. It is a psychological operation to create population control. That's what this happening. The culture, the pop culture, is being literally degenerated by these insane people who are commanding the sponsors, who are getting the sponsors, they're getting the money. And they're driving the traffic, in fact, to this criminal, organized criminal operation to sustain themselves and actually continue to abuse the public.
And you got to wonder, you know, here we are, we're all asking for donations, and Truot's got all these major companies paying for that dumb radio show. It's like, what's something's got to give here? I mean, what is going on
so
here?
That's a tip for anybody that the real truthers out there can begin to now see it. And I just want to publicly, I've been doing it quite often, but I want to publicly thank Sherry because, again, I was a fool. You know, I had Ted Gunderson, as I thought, was my friend. I thought Anthony Hilder was my friend. You know, and I didn't think much of Truott and company. And suddenly Sherry comes on the scene and literally unveils the entire conspiracy industry as a total fraud, a total creation.
And this is something that I believe is, one of the most important topics that a truther, a real truther, needs to understand is that not everybody in this industry gets along very well. In fact, most of them hate each other, kind of like the founding fathers did. And a lot of them ain't in it for the truth. They're in it for the money. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. 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 Congratulations. You made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah.
But I'm here now. So what you wanna do?
Huh?
How many dudes you really know? Flow. Like this, like this, like this. Let's do it. How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any, not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody. Check, check to the mic, check. One, two, three.
Welcome back.
Were you hype yet? Nowadays, everybody wanna talk, but we got some subscribe.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Please visit the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and make a donation or a subscription if you want this broadcast to continue. And that's actually on a very urgent note. Bank account is like dry and rent is due next week. And I also need a couple of $100 to buy some new equipment, some accessories for the GoPro camera that I'm using at protests as well. So if you can give generously, do on the proviso that, look, if you're broke, don't give money to another broke person. Take care of yourself, right? If you don't take care of yourself, you won't be able to take care of anybody else. It's the innumerable rule of this industry. My very special guests are Sherry Kane and Lenny Horowitz, otherwise known as the Horror Kane. And welcome back, guys.
Hi, thank you, Vinny. I wanted to just go back on what you were saying about the truthers out there not getting along. These so-called truthers, I just want to elaborate on that a little more. They are not really truthers out there that don't get along. The real truthers, in fact, they do get along. The people that are on the up and up, that are honest and are really out there just, you know, desiring to give people news, whether it's the truth, good or bad, they're telling people, and they're not spreading disinformation. They're not going out there to hurt other people intentionally or do anything that these other counterintelligence operatives do. And they do it without any conscience. They seem like they don't have any blood running through their veins. But with the news stories that came out about these people spreading the disinformation was that they are conspiracy theorists, in quotes. They are not conspiracy theorists. These are paid propagandists. We do not believe they believe in what they're putting out there. Again, if they're counterintelligence, they're just out there to just confuse the whole entire activist, alternative truth movements and health freedom movements, and that's what their job is. And so some people might confuse us for people like that. And they may look at us and say, oh, you guys are conspiracy theorists. Well, those are really bad people. No, that's where the media, the mainstream media, has actually made people like us look bad by putting us in the same bag as these guys, when in reality, they are not the same as us. And I just wanted to clarify that in case people were thinking that out there, which probably your listeners aren't thinking that, but in the mainstream, every time you talk about 9/11, oh, you're one of those conspiracy theorists, right? And then they automatically attach it to what's being put out as far as the disinformation on Sandy Hook. And it's very sad.
So, to round off this broadcast, I also want to kind of inform the audience that you guys are under so much attack, and it comes from all sectors, you know, on all sides. And I've spoken to you privately, and it's really quite difficult for you guys just to, you know, live a normal life under constant barrage of disinfo and personal attack and things of this nature. And it's really sad. And I find this usually happens to the people who are really, really nice and really friendly and actually caring and loving. It doesn't happen to the scumbags, does it?
No, it doesn't, because the scumbags actually are protected. You know, and that's something I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about, maybe on another program or whatever. But we were listening to one of the other radio hosts on your network, Pete Santilli, and he interviewed Gordon Duff, who's one of the people we actually exposed in the letter. Gordon Duff is. We exposed him because he works closely with Truot. So it was very interesting in that interview that he's outing Gordon Duff, because it's something that we knew for a while, is that Gordon Duff is one of these operatives that are out there. And recently I sent him an email asking him why he actually puts out 40% disinformation, which he actually admits to doing on one of his shows. And he actually told me to go F off. So that's the level of these people. They really don't care. They don't care if they come out and say, we're putting out disinformation, we're counterintelligence, we're this, we're that. They don't care.
You know, Vinny, I just want to address what you're raising, is this question as to, you know, how can we continue to do what we're doing in the face of all of this attack? Well, frankly, you know, it's kind of like a metaphysical issue. It's a spiritual warfare that we're embattled with. And frankly, Sherry and I have so much faith. You know, we are Jews, but we also love Jesus. And we wouldn't consider our label ourselves Jews for Jesus. We just love Jesus. And, you know, we basically pray to Yeshua, we pray to God, we understand both of them are entities that we can call upon and have always come through for us. And as dark as it is in our work, it is also so magnificent how the angels of protection have protected us. It's exactly like the Bible talks about, how if the Creator is for you, then who can stand against you? And frankly, because of the pain and suffering that we've gone through, look at what this opportunity is. Since Sherry had mentioned 2007, I've been attacked by these guys. In 2009, they started attacking Sherry and starting to, in 2010, upload videos defaming her, degrading her. And look where we are today, just publishing now a whole expose that could potentially alert all Americans about how these agent provocateurs have defamed and degraded and doubly victimized the poor people of Sandy Hook, Connecticut. After they have to deal with their family's tragedies, they now have to deal with harassments. And then some of these operatives are actually telling people to accost them, and they're agitating hate crimes against them. This is despicable. Yet, we're looking at how God works. We're looking at how we're used, how we're asked to advance this information. And again, you know, thank God we've got food on the table. We've got a roof over our head. We're living in Hawaii, for goodness sake. How bad can that be? You know, and we're just doing it. And we're loving it, because there's nothing that we can do that's more passionate in our lives than to expose the darkness with the light and move forward to advance how we can heal ourselves with the 528 love revolution.
Yep, we just believe we've been given this task, and that we have to just live it and do our best that we can. And that's probably why we live in Hawaii, is because it's a trade-off. We live here, but how many people would want to do the work that we do and be attacked as we are? So it's kind of like a balance. You know, you get to live in a beautiful place.
You know, it's like we didn't actually, if I look back on it, we didn't necessarily, especially Sherry, didn't consciously choose to be here right now in Hawaii. You know, if we had the liberties, maybe we'd be elsewhere. But we were actually forced by circumstances to be here. But again, think about it. What a magnificent place to be in paradise in the middle of the Pacific Ocean by the grace of God. You know, and so we're not complaining. We're not down. I could just you know, like be disheartened about the fact I lost my companies, I lost my family, I haven't spoken to my children in 2 years. Like Sherry mentioned, my ex-wife was brainwashed and actually enlisted by these agent provocateurs that totally intended to destroy every aspect of my life. Yeah, I could look down upon all that, but I would be stupid. I'd be foolish. I'd be faithless. Because the reality is I have the greatest opportunity now to perform the greatest service to humanity that virtually anybody has had the opportunity to do since Jesus' time. And I literally mean that. When you look and study, and I've had the privilege of working with the world's leading physicists and mathematicians and geneticists, and you begin to understand the simplicity of 528 hertz frequency, how it is pure tone love, how love is the universal healer, how we can, with this understanding and the revelations and the advancement of this technology to revolutionize the music and healing industries, we can literally get rid of the dissonance, the dis-ease that is plaguing our planet. And what a wonderful what a wonderful time it is to be alive.
And I also want to just say that thank you, Vinny, for, you know, you've given us all your friendship. You've given us a platform to tell you our story, and you've never once betrayed us. You've never once said, you know, shut us down or anything. I know that you're a real person. You're a real, really good-hearted person, and we really love you for that, and we appreciate you very much. And you have a really amazing career ahead of you with your talents and your sense of humor and your good looks, and so we see that for you as well. And you know, we also want to thank Michael Vara with Late Night in the Midlands for being able to give us a platform and a voice to also speak and tell our story to people, and to, you know, Howard Nima, who has also given us a platform to speak. And thank you to these good people.
Thank you to all these good people that are supporting Len Horowitz and Sherry Kane. Unfortunately, the internet connection means they can't talk while we're coming into breaks here. And, you know, even during the show, when I was putting out a message saying, you know, I've got Len and Sherry on the show, I get this message from Clint Richardson, who wrote, "Ugh, Vinny, the Horowitz family of Purple Gang Jewish Mafia fame. Surprised you are pandering to the self-proclaimed Uber Jew prince himself and his prostitute. I'm disappointed. Why don't you ask him why what he now promotes and calls the love frequency was reported in his first plagiarized book to be the frequency of Lucifer, of pain and breakdown of the body? The man and his bitch are pure frickin' evil. Be fair and interview Dr. A. Truott, for which these two are eternally screwing and defaming. I asked Truott to come on many times, and he refused." This is the kind of stuff they deal with every day.